Welcome to the Outdoor Writer Podcast, the podcast that's all about hunting, fishing, the outdoor lifestyle, and being a writer caught up in the middle of it all. Now, here are your hosts, Gayne Young and Craig Boddington.
Hey kids, Gayne Young here. Welcome to episode 13 of the Outdoor Writer Podcast. That's right, lucky number 13. Some people say 13 is not all that lucky, but I was born on November 13, and yes, a couple weeks ago, it was my birthday on a Friday. I was born on Friday the 13th. Would that surprise you? Not if you know me. Colonel Boddington is in the field hunting because, well, that's what he does, and it is the season. Everybody's running around like rabid, and there's no sense in recording one of these things on a satellite phone because it just costs too darn much. But I've been busy as well. I just got back from the, what was the name of that place? It's in Spanish, so I always have to think hard. Dos Condados Ranch near Rio Grande City. I did some quail hunting there. That was set up by my friend Gordy White of Gordy White Worldwide Hunting. There's a link to that there at the bottom of this page. I'm going back there on Friday for a management whitetail, which I think is going to run me around 140, 150 inches is what a management is. I don't know. We'll find out when I get there. Week before last, I was at the Champion Ranch over in Brady, Texas. I'll put that link down there too. I shot a very nice 140 management buck there. But enough about what I've been doing. Today, we are going to talk to a hunting consultant, booking agency. I don't know what they're exactly called, but it's Hookfire, and it is owned by some very nice people, Will and Lauren Cohen. I met them with Captain Peacock down in the Amazon a couple months ago and decided to talk to them. The audio is not that great because they were on a speakerphone, but I think you'll enjoy what they have to say. They answer the question, much like last episode we did with Gordy White, why in today's world of internet and everything accessible at the click of a button, do you need to go through a booking agency? Why? They have a pretty good answer for that. But before we get to that, today's episode is sponsored by me. That's right. Why don't you go to Amazon.com and buy some of my books? That sure would be nice. They make great Christmas presents, and all of them are on the bestseller list there on Amazon in their individual categories. And yes, if you listened to me before, you know that most of those categories are gay and lesbian outdoors, because my name is Gayne, G-A-Y-N-E, and Amazon seems to put me in there. But despite the fact that there is nothing gay, homosexual, transgender, or lesbian in any of my books, they're bestsellers in that category. I can't complain. Enough about that crazy Amazon system. Let's talk to Will and Lauren Cohen from Hookfire.
Well, Will, Lauren, thank you for being on the show.
We're glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
Well, last week we talked to Gordy White of Gordy White Worldwide Hunting, and he has been a booking agent for the hunting fishing industry for going on 30 years, and we thought we needed to talk to somebody of the younger generation, so we are calling you. Tell us about Hookfire.
Well, first of all, Gabe, we really like Gordy White. He's a great guy. I'm sure he'd like to hear that, but Gordy and I have bumped into each other at numerous shows, and I'm happy to hear that y'all had him on the show.
We are actually going to go quail hunting next week, I think, somewhere down in South Texas. I don't know exactly where, but he assures me it's a good place.
Fantastic. Well, what were we talking about? I'm sorry, gang.
Tell us about Hookfire.
Okay, so Hookfire. So I'm going to let Lauren go into this.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so you said Gordy's been in the industry for quite a bit longer than we have, so tell you about us. So Will started in the business about 8 years ago, kind of took a leap of faith and sold everything he had and moved to South America and traveled around for several months. But his whole goal was to you know, to kind of work and fill his passion for hunting in his career and kind of build a career around that. So everybody thought he was crazy and he'd be back with no money and trying to sell real estate. But he came back, and during that time, he had built a relationship with an outfitter down there who privately owned several high-end luxury hunting and fishing lodges, and Will really liked the way that he did business and continued to do business today, and so formed a partnership there, kind of starting there, as a duck guide at one of their duck hunting lodges. And then after several months, he said, okay, I like the way these lodges operate. I know that I can go back and sell these programs with 100% confidence that I'm sending my clients to a place where, you know, it's the best of the best in terms of species, whatever they're hunting or fishing, but also in terms of the service that they're going to receive and the accommodations. So at that point, he came back to the States and really started selling. Now, we started the Hookfire brand. It's been about 2 years now. So Will and I work full-time together in the Hookfire brand and have expanded our portfolio of lodges. We're still boutique, but we saw that clients
were
wanting...
What do you mean when you say boutique? You mean small or?
When we say, okay, you want to go duck hunting in Argentina, here's 20 lodges. No, we have four or five lodges that we have personally been to several times. We do have a level of standards that we promise to our clients. And so we're not just going to go out and sell every lodge available. Like, we're very specific about which lodges we're going to send clients to and which programs we're going to partner with. So by boutique, I mean, you know, we have about 20 lodge programs that we offer, and we've been to all of them personally. We know the staff. We know what to expect. So when we're, you know, our clients are our friends, and we care about our clients and building those relationships, and we want to send them places where, you know, we can say, look, this is what to expect, and, you know, you're going to go here and you're going to get this type of shooting and this type of service, and, you know, Sophia's going to take great care of you, and I can assure you of that. So that's really important to us. That's what I mean by boutique.
Okay. Well, good deal. And Will went and started all this on his own. When did you come into the picture, and for what reason? Tell us.
I came into the picture. We lived in Dallas for about 3 years, and that was one of the biggest growing periods, I think, of the business, just in terms of building our client base and really being able to market in that Texas area where you are and know that there are lots of hunters and fishermen. And at that point, the business was just growing, and so he needed my help. And so I started helping him with bookings and doing all the accounting for Hookfire. So I've done that since about 2010. And then So I've always been a part of it, and just kind of a part of it growing and bouncing ideas.
Gang, don't let her lie to you. She's been a huge part of it.
So, yeah, a smaller part. But now I've been working full-time with Hookfire since January. And, you know, now we've hired this gentleman, John, who is going to be working with us full time, and just a lot of exciting things are going on right now. Some things that we're real excited about, directions that we're taking. I'm actually starting, we're doing an adventure safari piece of the business. So we're going to be really focusing on Africa, and that's going to be kind of my baby. We spent a month there in August and just fell in love with the country. And so that's one of our new exciting ventures that we're taking on right now. So,
okay. Well, I was waiting for you to say that you're married, but I'll go ahead and throw that out there. You're married.
We are married. Yes. During that period, we got married actually 2013. So we've been working together for a few years at that point.
And Gain, it does put a little stress on your marriage for sure.
But I would imagine
it's very rewarding as well. Yes.
Well, I'll ask you the same things that I asked Gordy, is that's kind of what we're going for, is why with the internet today and all these conventions, hunting and fishing conventions that you can go to, why would you go to a booking agent rather than just book directly with an outfitter?
Well, I mean, I think it all boils down to you got to look at what the value that you're getting out of it. You got to look at, you know, a booking agent, as you termed it, gets, you know, it's a more one-stop shop. You're getting the hotels, you're getting the transfers, you're getting, like Lauren said, you know, all the people at the lodges. It's more of an intimate experience. We spend a lot of time hosting groups and really getting to know people. It's more about personal relationships and then just sending somebody to a remote location. So, it's all about value.
It's all about value.
It's all about the relationship. I mean, that's kind of what we sell. It's really kind of selling ourselves and the relationship that we have with our clients. I mean, we're going to hold their hand throughout the whole booking experience. You know, we're not just sending our clients to Mississippi for a dove shoot. I mean, they're going out of the country, and, you know, it's a big trip. And there are a lot of pieces to the puzzle in terms of travel booking and transfers and flights. And it's nice to be able to say, hey, we can do it all and take care of you and
so
hold your hand
the whole
way.
So you do take care of all that kind of stuff. In addition to setting up the hunt or the fishing trip, you take care of all the airline arrangements, permits, things like that.
So we have a lady on our Hookfire team that does all of the travel work in terms of hotel, flights, transfers. If they stay in Buenos Aires before they go to Cordoba, you know, we can take care of all of that if the client wishes. So there's value to that.
And we're on the leading edge, Gain. We're on the cusp. I mean, we're seeing all these new lodges develop and new programs, new menu items. We get to see it all. So we're very informative with our clients and give them that aspect that they would miss just calling direct.
What do you think you two offer to someone coming into looking for a trip as a married couple? Or is it any different than going to somebody that's single and, you know, like Gordy? I'm sure that's part of the appeal of, you know, you're a young married couple. What do you think you bring to the table in that regard?
I think that, like, we see more families traveling together. We see more couples traveling together, planning couples trips, planning anniversary trips, family trips. I'm actually working on three families right now that are wanting to go to Africa. And, you know, just having experience it together, and we continually do. That's one of the perks of being in this business is Will and I do get to travel together and have these, you know, experiences together. We can really connect with our client on that level and really provide them what they're looking for because we share that. And it's not just saying, you know, it's not just like a secondhand thing. This is a firsthand thing that we experience and can share with the client. So I think that goes a long way. Now,
well,
I mean, we definitely, we're not always jolly and getting along. I mean, we work together and live together and we have our arguments, but we, you know, we're a team. We are.
And it's really rewarding. I mean, we were talking about, Lauren and I were talking the other day, we spent less time at home this year than we've been at home, just traveling and seeing all these new different locations and getting to meet new couples and clients. And so it's very, very rewarding. We've got a lot of flexibility. We can jump on a plane tomorrow and go check a new lodge out in Uruguay or Africa, you know, with a minute's notice, literally. We can take our office with us. We're on the cusp. We're on the leading edge of, you know, lodge development.
Okay. Well, Lauren, I've dealt with several booking agencies. I know of several more. I don't know of any that have a woman working at them other than a receptionist. And you are a partner in this business, and you are a young lady, younger than me. So what do you think you offer potential clients as a woman?
You know, I think I hope that it is refreshing. I think that some of the gentlemen clients that I work with, they find it refreshing to hear a woman's voice and not just to be, oh, well, I only know what I see here on this computer. You know, I actually, I have a passion for the industry. You know, I enjoy hunting. I enjoy fishing. I grew up around it, and I have a passion for it. So I don't just see this as, you know, a job, and I'm helping with the administrative details. I feel like, you know, I don't want it to be just a male-dominated industry. I think there's a huge potential to get more families and get more couples involved and, you know, get people traveling together and not just, you know, we've seen more interest from couples and families recently, and I think that's hopeful.
You think all the booking agents are seeing that, or do you think you're seeing that more because you are a husband and wife and you are a woman in the industry?
No, I think that it's the latter. It's because we are a husband and wife, and, you know, I think maybe we're attracting more. I mean, I don't know. I haven't spoken firsthand to a lot of booking agents about it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I do think, you know, maybe we do attract more families and couples and because we are both.
I would imagine certainly women. And I'm not being sexist, but this is a pretty much male-dominated industry in terms of who's booking things. But like you said, women and families are joining into the group. But I would think a husband coming to book something with you, when the wife sees you, probably is put at a little more ease and may even entertain the idea of doing some things she normally wouldn't do. Is that a correct assumption?
Yes, definitely. And I do have a lot of husbands say, well, you know, my wife's thinking about coming. Is there going to be anything to do? And as a woman, you know, I can give them that perspective of, well, yeah, I've been there and I love it. You know, can I go tomorrow with you? And this is why. so it does give them that ease of, you know, it's not just a man saying, oh, yeah, the women will like it. It's me and I'm a woman and I've been and I'm not, you know, obviously I like the outdoors and I like hunting, but I wouldn't say I'm a total tomboy, you know. So I'm definitely a woman in that sense that enjoys nice things but also likes to get out and shoot a gun and, you know, I guess hunt and fish and be outdoors too.
And, Gabe, these lodges are luxurious enough to where women can really enjoy themselves at the lodge. You know, they're pampered and taken care of, and we look at that when we go do our research visits at these different lodges all over the world. That's one critical aspect that we're looking for. Is this suitable for a wife? Would she be happy here? Is there enough activities that she can participate in? If she doesn't want to shoot, you know, all 4 days, maybe she wants to shoot half the time. Can we keep her entertained? So those are I agree with Lauren, but I also think that the industry is definitely moving towards, you know, a woman wanting to go experience different places. I mean, granted, there's, what, 1 week of vacation for most households, 2 weeks of vacation,
right.
And it's tough. It's split. The husband wants to go hunt, and the wife wants to take the kids to the beach. So I think people are starting to see a little more of that, and that's hopeful for me. But yes, I do agree with Lauren that, yeah, we are seeing more of it because of the husband-wife team.
Well, before I get on my next question, I will say that in terms of the industry gearing more towards women and like you're saying, people with limited time, I went to Champion Ranch over in Brady, Texas 2 weeks ago for a deer hunt. And the week before I got there, they were showing me all the pictures from the week before I got there. The week before I got there, there were three hunters and three hunter wives. And they got up one day, the wives, stayed in their bathrobes, got in a helicopter right outside the front of the lodge door, and they flew them an hour to Horseshoe Bay Resort, which is not very far away. They got a full spa treatment for the day, and then they flew them back in a helicopter. And they said they're seeing the ranch of things. they're seeing more and more of that. Not only, okay, we can take you here or we can do a little day trip, but also bringing those type of services into the lodge. So
yeah,
y'all
that's
seen
awesome.
That kind of thing as well?
Yes. Well, we haven't experienced the helicopter yet. That's pretty awesome. but yes, you know, we've got a couples group actually coming this weekend, six couples. And I've got, you know, the six wives, we're bringing manicurists in. We're bringing a woman in to do their hair at the lodge. They're also hunting, you know, during the day, but they want
mm-hmm.
these services. You know, we have massages at the lodge, but we're bringing in these extra services for them just because, you know, they want to have fun and dress up for dinner and, you know, just kind of add that little spice to the trip. So, yes, we are seeing that, and the lodges are that we choose to partner with are very accommodating to that because they see value in being able to provide that.
Okay. Do you think you have a younger clientele than since this is such a personal business and relationship business, are you finding that you have a younger clientele, or are they mainly 50s and 60s or across the board? What do you got?
I'd say the main demographic is older, people in their 50s, 60s, 70s. This year in particular, we're having more younger couples, which is exciting to see. You know, people in their 30s traveling, that's always inspiring to see that, especially these
right.
days where you have less hunters every day. So that's good news.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, I'll ask you another thing that I asked Gordy. Two summers ago when I was in Botswana, I interviewed John Dugmore, who is an elephant guide or a professional hunter who specialized in elephant in Kenya. And he was involved in helping him film Hatari with John Wayne. So this guy's been around. And he said back in the 50s and 60s, he would have two letters of correspondence from a client. A client would write him on airmail, you know, the onion. Well, you're too young to remember that. Onion, it was this, like typewriter paper, very thin. They would write him in Kenya and say, we want to come hunting, blah, blah, blah. We were thinking this month something. He would telegram them back a date and say, be here at the airport at that date. And he said that was it. That was all the correspondence. There was not any, what do we bring, who's going to be there, what, you know, obviously permits have changed considerably in the last 60 years, but, and also you can go down to Cabela's or Bass Pro Shop and get all your gear. You couldn't do that then. He had to arrange for it to be ready when you got there. But could you book a trip today with just two back and forth?
I wish, but no, but I mean, then I guess we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have a place. That's unbelievable. But
yeah,
no, there are a lot of details.
How many emails back and forth would you say is the average for somebody setting up something like going dove hunting in Argentina?
I'd say there's probably, when it's all said and done, Gane, there's probably 30 emails. And that could be a, you know, a simple question of what the weather's like. But by the time it's all said and done, probably 30 would be safe to say.
Mm-hmm. 20 to 30 emails and, you know, three or four phone calls. Some people like to call. Some people like to email more. So that varies.
Right.
Definitely not one and one.
It's such a huge right. aspect of the trip, the booking side of it.
Right.
With the emails and the correspondence, it's such an important part to the anticipation of the trip. You know, most people just think it's the realization of the trip. It's the actual trip that's taking place, but it's so much more than that. So it's the hands-on and the emails and phone calls back and forth. It's the meeting them at their office or them coming to meet us at our office. There's a lot more involved than most people think.
Would you say people are there's just more involved these days, or people are just more needy? I'm guessing it's probably a little bit of both. But.
Yeah. I'm gonna say it's maybe a little more of the latter, but definitely both things.
All right. So you started out, Will, doing South America bird hunting. What, in your opinion, and you cannot say Argentina, what is the best bird hunting in South America aside from Argentina? What do you think? What you've got somebody that comes to you, they say, I've hunted Argentina, been there, done that, it's great. I want to go someplace else. What do you got?
Your mixed bag lodge in Uruguay is your best bang for the buck. Value-wise, you're not going to beat anything if you're a wing shooter. You get to shoot perdiz, pigeon, dove, and, hey, you can even catch a Dorado.
No.
So, yes, I think for sure that's going to be your best value for the dollar. You're taking a week out of your schedule, go do it right, and, you know, enjoy all five species from one location. Mm.
And we have a couple of great lodges in Uruguay that we work with. It's easier to get into. Argentina's kind of cracked down on if you're bringing your own guns. You know, we don't even encourage clients to bring guns to Argentina. Uruguay, I mean, very easy travel-wise, and that's something that we're really liking right now. We were just there earlier this year, and it's just fun to be able to shoot several species but also have good hunts. You know, I mean, it's
high volume. I'm guessing y'all been there if you're pronouncing it Uruguay rather than Uruguay. I don't know what that way, but you're saying it differently, so I'm assuming you've been correct.
Yes, we were both there earlier this year. When was that? April, and then Will was just there a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Lauren, what is – and. When you answer this, of course, let's preface this by saying, of course, you are not putting down any other place, but what is, in terms of everything that you look for extra in being a woman, what would you say is the nicest place y'all represent? And again, you're not saying anything bad about any of your other clients. I just what would you say is?
That's a tough one, Lauren.
Well, Will, I didn't ask you. I asked you.
Oh, gosh. There are a couple places that I love right now. Can I say two things?
What?
Because one of okay. In terms of Central and South America, Tipaluque Lodge is one of our lodges we represent in Patagonia, and it's first class, but you can fish, you can play golf. You can quail hunt, you can hike, you can mountain bike, Patagonia. I mean, it's in San Martín de los Andes. It's just beautiful. I mean, there's so much about it. It's a heaven on earth. Food's great at the lodge. It's just there's so much to experience there aside from just hunting and fishing. It's great. But I just got back from Africa, and I'm really in love with Africa. We stayed at a couple of places. I really love the Sabi Sands, you know, right next to Kruger Park in South Africa, a lodge called Leopard Hills, and also the Singida Lodges. I mean, just five-star, amazing. Photo safaris are like every day's a fairy tale. I mean, it was just unreal. I can't wait to go back.
I think I saw some of the on your Facebook page. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that did look like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was incredible. So can't wait to get back to Africa and encourage anyone to go that hasn't been that's thinking about it. Definitely. Definitely must do.
Okay. What is the hidden gem of Hookfire? The one that most people don't come to you for, but you're like, why do more people not book this? This is absolutely fantastic. This is a good value, it's great, blah, blah, blah. You know, it can be any of those things. But what is the one that more people need to know about from you?
I think Tipaluque, like Lauren had said, down in Patagonia, but also think the Amazon River is fantastic. I mean, who doesn't want to go to the Amazon River? I mean, it's got pristine white beaches, the peacock bass, you're catching could be up to 25 pounds. We just experienced that trip in February, and it tops the charts on unique, authentic experiences.
Okay. Lauren, do you concur?
Yeah, I think it's like Will said, it's a unique trip. I feel like you have to have an appreciation for fishing, for sure, to experience that. But for the fishermen and especially people who like to bass fish. I mean, unbelievable. What a cool, unique trip to go on. And not just for men, but, I mean, for groups. And that's something that that we don't, I guess, sell a lot of or promote, but it's a truly unique experience.
Yeah, it's a gem for sure.
Okay. Well, guys, we're kind of running out of time. Thank you very much. We're going to put all your contact info there at the end of the podcast in the write-ups. And look for some of what we talked about to be in the January issue of Texas Sporting Journal. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Lauren. Talk to you all soon.
Thank
you,
Gang.
Thank you. Appreciate you calling us, Gang.
Hey, will we see all you right at Dallas Safari Club this year? Or are you?
I will probably be there in the Texas Safari booth or Texas Sporting Journal booth, yeah.
Great.
And,
cool.
And they're letting beer back on the floor, so.
All right.
I'll be in a good mood.
Bottoms up, my friend.
There you go.
All right.
All right.
See you soon,
talk to you all later. All right. Bye.
Bye.
The audio wasn't that bad. Wasn't that good either. Kind of like this is, it's not all that great. Anyway, thank you to Will and Lauren from Hookfire. And we have a link to their services on the webpage below, as well as to some of the outfits they were talking about. Thank you. As for me, I'm off to the typewriter. Hopefully I can make a living. And we'll talk to you next week with Raj Paul. He is a great artist, and he has a hell of a story. Talk to you then.